Could we sing 191?
Still in a land of blood and earth, a longing spirit
is our God, our Father, we just look to thee for this time you've set aside for the reading of thy word this next hour. We commit the time to thee. We look to thee for the leading of thy spirit. Again, we pray for each one of us that we would have ears to hear thy words. And we just ask this now in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Verse 8.
2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not also only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by them at his will. The apostle brings before Timothy these very practical exhortations, really, and charges. He brings in this verse. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In the new translation says, remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead of the seed of David according to my glad tidings. And I would love to hear others, but Jesus Christ is, you know, the anointed one. seed of David speaks of his really kingship, raised from among the dead. We know that the Lord was crucified, rejected, but raised up. According to my gospel, and you know, there are times, this is one of the places where Paul refers to not the gospel, but my gospel. And this is where I'd love to hear other comments, but really Paul's ministry was so much illuminated and instructed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the rejected one, and going on in this world as belonging to him, the one who was rejected, as a part of, as the heavenly body of Christ. And so, you know, it's just interesting, here the reference is not the gospel, it is my gospel. So Paul had a certain line of teaching that he was given by God, and that he was faithful with, but really in so many ways it has to do with the heavenly calling of the believer going on as belonging to a resurrected but rejected Christ. I'd love to hear some comments on this.
I just appreciate that, like you read from Darby and other good translations have it that way as well. It's not so much remember a fact, but it's really remember a person. So that person being Jesus Christ. And he's just been talking about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I take it that he lays before them an example in the Lord Jesus of one who endured hardness, one who suffered. And we can be thankful. There are many soldiers who have to follow generals who never saw combat and who never had to go through the toil and the trenches and whatever. They went to West Point, they graduated, became officers, and flew a desk for a while, and now they're commanding soldiers. It's difficult for them to relate to those soldiers' experiences when they command them, you know, I want you to go take position A. And we can be thankful that we're not serving someone like that. We're serving one who went far beyond anything that we will ever be expected to go through. And then he also sets before them himself in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. So he also, the Apostle Paul, who is saying this, is also not one who is, you know, just preaching from a desk, if you will. He's one who is, he's been in the field. He knows what it's like. And he's telling us to follow in those same footsteps.
Along that line, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, now I rejoice in sufferings for you. I'm reading from the Darby translation. And I fill up that which is behind of the tribulations of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the assembly. So, it was the body that was paramount, and Christ had shown how paramount it was in the giving of himself at the cross. And Paul sees his own tribulations as the same outworkings of Christ on behalf of the assembly. And as far as my gospel, it goes on to say in Colossians, of which I became minister, that is, of the assembly, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me towards you to complete the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was Paul's gospel.
Encouraging in verse 10 to see the care that Paul has towards the elect. That would include you and I that he really had a care towards. Obviously it was the folks then too, but he was willing to endure all things for their sake. Because he recognized that he had something that was valuable. So he was willing to give up his own comfort, his own advantage, things that he had in the flesh for others, for their blessing, that they could have the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And he had seen that himself, and so to him it was worth it, what he was going to suffer, because he wanted others to be able to have what was so valuable to him. And he'd say, being alone in prison, having your friends all forsake you, is worth something. Well, it was the eternal glory, the salvation that he recognized was worth it. It wasn't comfortable, it wasn't glamorous, it wasn't something that others would look on in the flesh and say, wow, I wish I could be like you. No, it was by faith that he perceived these things and was willing to take up this suffering, even as an evildoer. Not being one. You know, we might suffer a speeding ticket because we're speeding. Now, that's not faith. But he was suffering as if he was an evildoer, even though he wasn't. He was suffering that unrighteousness for the blessing of others. And that kind of care is really needed amongst ourselves, isn't it, too?
Don't want to send this down a rabbit trail at all, but I was just last in New Jersey. Can't remember exactly how he put it, but my father-in-law was telling me this little quote, I guess he'd heard. He said, "We don't do what we do because we're unwilling to face the consequences." And in other words, you don't go the speed limit for the reason that you're scared of getting a ticket. If that's the reason that you're going the speed limit, then where is there any reward for that? You're just scared, that's all. And I think that that has application with a lot of the things that we face right now and today. We don't do what we do because we're scared or because we're not willing to face the music. You know, let's submit because I don't want the government to come and lock us all up or whatever it is. That's not why we do, or it should not be why we do what we do. We should be doing what we are doing for the glory of God. So if there is found in us a spirit of being unwilling to suffer, that's not good. We should be willing to suffer.
Says the word, or it is a faithful saying. The other translation says, the word is faithful. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's the consequences we're looking for. We don't have our eyes on consequences here, but the consequences of being faithful according to the word. To Christ. So if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What could be better than that? Death has no claim on us. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's a sad circumstance there.
Verse 12, I take it. I know that there are different thoughts on verse 12. So I would welcome other thoughts as well. But as I understand verse 12, it just refers to if we deny him, it means the first part of the verse, if we suffer. The second part, if we deny. So there is, the Lord tells us to do something and we deny him and we say no, or we deny him as Peter denied the Lord and do not want to admit our association with him. It says he also will deny us. And the way I understand that anyway is it says we, and I take it to be believers, that the Lord will deny us in a practical way what we ask of him. If he asks us to do something, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. And then we turn around and get sick, and we say, oh, Lord, please heal me. It may not be that the Lord will do that. That's how I take it, but I know that there's other thoughts on that, so make room for that. But in verse 13, it's talking about salvation, I believe. If we believe not, or literally if we are faithless, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So if we are saved, we are in Christ, the Lord cannot deny Christ. How can that even make sense? Once saved, you're always saved. So he's careful to make that distinction.
So the thought would be that if we are not faithful, he still abides faithful to us.
It's such a comfort and joy to know that the Lord abides faithful. Well, there's many that we perhaps might look up to that might let us down. We know ourselves, we let ourselves down. But with the Lord Jesus, he just abides faithful. You know, that's just such a constant. When we have circumstances that change, people that change, he's the same. And you know, that's never going to change for eternity either. And he just abides faithful. And even if he has to deny us, you know, we still know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And even if, like Peter, you know, he missed out on that opportunity to stand with the Lord when the Lord was at that point where everyone turned away from him. He missed that opportunity. But, you know, the Lord still abode faithful to Peter. He still loved him, and he wanted him back. He wanted Peter to be fruitful again. You know, that's just wonderful for each one of us in our measure as we go through this life and perhaps wander here or wander there. And the Lord abides faithful and he always wants us to enjoy fellowship with himself. Always. You know, it's such a constant. I think it's easy to take it for granted because, you know, he's so faithful.
He's referred to as the faithful and true witness. He's been faithful to the uttermost to his Father's will. And by the same token, in the same work, he is also faithful to us to the uttermost in bringing us to his Father. And that faithfulness does not end with salvation. It goes on. He is our great high priest. He's faithful to keep us from failing. He's our advocate when we do fail. He's faithful.
Under just the last few minutes here, there's only two readings at this time. I just think of the last few verses to just give us some instruction in a time when there is perhaps a lot of contention or differing opinions. It talks about that while the foundation of God standeth sure, the building that is built on it, if you will, has become a great house. And it's huge, and it has all kinds of different vessels, and some are of good quality, and some are of bad quality, and some are dirty, and some are clean. And we're given instruction with regard to that condition of things to separate ourselves from those vessels which are unclean. But as we get down to like verse 23, it starts to talk about how we would interact with each other when there is a kind of divided state of things. And I just appreciate the wisdom of some of these verses. Difficult to act on it sometimes, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. There are some questions, we tend to call them in our vernacular as a loaded question. I think sometimes we just call it that. And we just mean a question where you know that the questioner is really just looking for a fight. That's really all it is. And so they ask a question, and the goal of that question is to really draw you in to some sort of a debate, which is not going to be for anybody's blessing. It's just going to result in strife. And the instruction that is given is to just avoid those questions, to just avoid them. And it can be so tempting, you know, you feel like you have wisdom. You feel like, oh, this one I know, I can get this one. And you go down that road, and it just, an hour later, it just, you wish you'd never answered it. And there's such wisdom in this, avoiding the foolish and unlearned questions. And it just presents the principle of how we are to deal in the face of disagreement when we're talking with somebody. In verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I feel like if you're in a discussion and you realize at some point, it just kind of comes to light in the middle of that discussion, that you're striving. You're wrestling. You're not talking anymore. You're wrestling with that brother or sister. You're striving with them. Then you have to recognize that you have failed. Because now you're striving with them. And you haven't been yet. And then there's more instruction in verse 25. Be meek about it. Instruct those that oppose. God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. It really requires, when somebody is wrong, but they don't think that they're wrong, and they take up some line of things and they start to argue that point, it's really hard. It requires a repentance, a change of thinking, and it's humbling to admit, okay, I was wrong. That's not easy. It's not easy for any of us. And it's so much easier to say, okay, you know, I just don't want to admit that I was wrong, you know, and just keep arguing or whatever it is. So we can seek the Lord to give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth.
There's many practical exhortations in this chapter. And so often the Lord is brought out in many of these verses, and I think in carrying out any of these things, it really needs to be in communion with the Lord. There's no substitute or shortcut to living the Christian life. We need to do it in communion. And, you know, whether it's a servant of the Lord must not strive, nor representing Him in everything that we do and say, all of our interactions. whether other people know about them or whether they don't. And all these things, if we just try and carry them out without connection to the Lord, you know, we're going to come up short. We really need to be firmly connected with Him in carrying out these things. We can't do them in our own strength. We could try, and you could try all these things, and some of us maybe are stronger characters and can do a better job of carrying them out in our own strength. But we're going to come up short unless we have the strength of the Lord to carry these things out. The day of the home is brought before us in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. To flee is to run with fear. This isn't to, you know, linger around, give yourself opportunity, but it's to run with fear. It's to stay away. And in connection with the Lord Jesus, you know, we're to follow that which is right. You have a pure heart. That's what He desires. He doesn't desire to have those that are, you know, maybe going to give Him 5% of our focus, or maybe even 50% of our focus. He wants it all. He wants our hearts to really love Him. And, you know, that's a tough word to each one of us. You know, I can come to meeting and do what I need to do at meeting, but the Lord wants our hearts all the time. We're going to carry out these things like Timothy. It needs to be in connection with Him. You know, we know that. But then there's, you know, those decisions we make moment by moment, how we carry it out. And we just need His help so much to do these things.
It's sobering to consider that when we lack in that communion with the Lord, and we fail in some of these and other exhortations, it's begun with an individual or two, and then you end up with a great house. You know, the troubles may begin small, but they can grow. There can be parties that are formed one side to the other, and the result is that the truth is set aside because the Lord has been set aside, and so now we carry our own sword. We don't carry anything for the Lord. It's all outside of the realm of Christianity, and so you have that which is watered down. Could we sing 172?
Leaving here
leaving it behind, but be mindful of them, that we might profit from them to thine honor and glory. We're thankful, our Father, for all thy love and grace that have been shown to us so abundantly in the giving of thine own Son and in judging him in our place for that which we are and have done, sinners and sin. Father, we thank thee for the love of that blessed one who would so suffer and die for our sakes, and what he bore in those hours of darkness we shall never know, but we shall know the peace, the joy, the glories of the heavenly place because of his faithfulness. We thank thee for that blessed one. So we just commit ourselves to thee for the remainder of our time together. In the long, worthy, and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.